Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
What's your ID? Many of us, we carry around IDs, we carry around driver's license, we carry around something in our pockets, something in our wallets to help identify who we are, where we're from, and so forth. And so this particular message, What's Your ID? It is a message that's designed to help us to truly understand what our identity is or where our identity lies. The main objective for this series is to help us to understand that our identity relies in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and to also help us to understand some disciplines that will help us to grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ and with the Father. The scripture that we've been using is John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, but to all who have received him, who is Jesus Christ, and to all who believe in his name, who again is Jesus Christ, he has given them, Jesus has given them the right to become God's children. And so we all know on some level, we all know to, you know, because of the word, because of our relationship, because of, you know, we believe in God, we believe in Christ. You know, we all know that we are God's children, right? We all know that God is our heavenly Father. Even knowing that, the problem is a lot of people have a hard time relating to God as their Father. A lot of people have a hard time relating to themselves actually being his children. So throughout this series, our goal was to help us to understand better how can we grow in that relationship so that we can better relate to God being our Father, and also better relate to us being his children. I remember we did a series that was titled IDK, I don't know. And one of the questions that we got consistently from people was questions that was surrounding, that surrounded around, you know, how can God still love me with all of this, you know, mess in my life, with all the mistakes that I continue to make, with all the sins that I do, all the wrongs that I do? How can God still love me unconditionally in the way that he does? And so the reason that God still loves you in spite of what you does is it's because you are his child. As a parent, our kids, they do wrong so often, and in all the wrong that they're doing, you know, we get mad at them. Sometimes we don't want to talk to them. We don't want to see their face. We don't want to be around them. They get on our nerves. They drive us crazy. But even in spite of all of that, we still have this love for them that is untainted, this love for them that is unconditional. And so even in all their wrongdoing, that's how we still love them, is because they are our children. God is no different. God is our heavenly Father. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter how much we get on his nerves or even deny him the wrong in our life, God still loves us. And so helping us, we need to truly understand or truly be able to grow to a place where we can relate to him being our Father and we being his children. So today, the last lesson in this series is titled Being is Doing. If you can say that with me, you don't have to unmute your mics. Just say that out loud right now. I want you to hear your own self say that. And that is being is doing, right? So the objective of today's lesson is this: serving the Lord is an important part of being a Christian. So we identify ourselves as being a Christian. We identify ourselves as being God's children, all right? We identify ourselves as being someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, which makes us a Christian. So today, I want to help us to understand, I really want to push it to us to understand that serving the Lord is an important part of being a Christian. It's not just enough just to say that you're a Christian, but you also have to be a Christian, right? You can carry around an ID all day long. You can carry around the Bible all day long. You can carry around a cross around your neck all day long. You can wear a Jesus piece on your neck all day long. Just because you might identify as a Christian doesn't mean that you're actually being a Christian. So it's very important for us to be what we identify ourselves as. In our society today, it is so hard to think of others instead of ourselves. So that statement right there is going to kind of catapult us into, you know, the direction of our message today, the direction of our subject today. And that is, again, in our society, it is very hard to think about others instead of ourselves. Everything is geared around always putting ourselves first above others. You know, I love myself, and that's all that matters. You know, our society pushes self-love, and self-love is good. Self-love is important, right? There's a scripture where Jesus had given some people had came to him, and they asked him, they said, Jesus, of the laws of Moses, which ones are the 10 are the greatest law? Which one is the greatest law? They were referring to the 10 commandments, the laws of Moses. Of the 10 commandments, which one is the most important? Jesus said, I'm going to give you two new commandments. He said, love God with all your heart, your soul, your might, and your strength. He said, the second one is equally as important. He said, that is to love yourself as your neighbor. Okay. So it's very important that we understand that. He said, love yourself. So pushing self-love is important. Pushing self-love is necessary. It is something that we're supposed to do. We all supposed to push self-love and love ourselves. But there's a second part to that that we cannot ignore, and that is as your neighbor. It says, I'm sorry, I actually said that wrong. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's important to push the self-love, but we cannot negate the part about loving our neighbor. As much as we push self-love, we also need to be pushing love for other people, right? So the Bible teaches us that we should love our neighbors. It's not all about us. So often we make things about us. Every decision that we make, you know, we'll make decisions that may benefit other people. We'll make decisions that may consider other people. We'll make decisions that may help other people. But it's very rare that we'll make those decisions without considering ourselves first. Okay. In other words, if this is not going to benefit me, then I'm out. You know, I'll be glad to do this. I'll be glad to be a part of this. I'll be glad to participate in this. I'll be glad to help, assist, or whatever. If I'm going to get something out of it, and it's going to benefit you also, but if it's not going to benefit me at all, I don't know if I'm going to be in this. I want you all to know something today, and that is, it's not all about us. It's not all about you. You know who it's about? It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. And that's something that we really, truly need to understand. When you think about who God is, he is our heavenly Father. When we think about who Jesus is, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world, the forgiver of sins, the one that gives us life. When we think about who they are, we have to realize that the only reason that we are here is because of them. The only reason that we exist is because of God. The only reason that we haven't been destroyed from the sin and the terrible things in our lives is because of the grace, the mercy and the grace that Jesus Christ gives. So for that, we have to realize and understand at some point, this is not about us. This is all about God. This is all about Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you guys a question today. And that question is, who is getting the glory for the things that you do? I want you to take an assessment of your life. Think about some things that you do on a daily basis. Think about the things that you've done so far this day. You know, think about what you did yesterday and throughout this week. You know, think about some things that you've done and ask yourself the question, of all the things that you did, who got the glory? Who is getting the glory from the things that you do? You know, the answer is probably yourself. The reality is probably you're probably getting all the glory, or at least most of the glory, for the things that you do. You know, ask yourself, is God getting any of that glory of all the things that you do in your life? I mean, from the moment you wake up to the time that you go to bed, ask yourself the question, is God getting any of that glory? You know what I'm saying? If you sing praises or if you sing songs or whatever it is that you do, is God getting any of it? You know what I'm saying? If you are involved in, you know, certain activities, you know, whatever it might be, is God getting any of the glory of it? If you serve in your community or serve in your church or wherever you might serve, is God getting any of the glory for the things that you do in your life? When other people give you praise, you know what I'm saying? Jerome gave me praise today. He gave me appreciation. He gave me some kind words. And, you know, and I have to ask myself the question, is God getting any of the glory for that? When people give me praise, it's important for me to give God praise also. Amen. Because that's where it came from. I'm not able to do what I do if it was not for the Lord. Right. When others give us praise, we need to make sure that we give God praise. Is there anything you do that directly gives God glory? Ask yourself the question. Is there anything that you do that directly gives God glory? You know, a lot of people, they will respond by saying, oh, most definitely. There are some things in my life that I do that I give God glory. What do you do that gives God glory? You're like, well, I thank God every day for waking me up. I thank God every day for the blessings that he gives me. Wake up call. That's not giving God glory. It's not. Thanking God every day and for waking you up, thanking God every day for the blessings that he gives you every day, thanking him for your good health, for your family, and you know, a roof over your head, your job, your car running, whatever, all the things that you have in your life that are a blessing, that's not giving God glory. You know what that is? That's showing your appreciation. You are showing God your appreciation when you thank him for the things that you can recognize that he's doing in your life to bless you. That's what you're doing. You're showing your appreciation. To say thank you is not necessarily giving somebody glory. To say thank you is showing your appreciation. And we should show our appreciation. The Bible tells us that a thankful heart, or it said an unthankful heart is the beginning of a reprobate mind. Say that one more time. It says an unthankful heart is the beginning of a reprobate mind. In other words, a mind that does not consider God or cares about God any way whatsoever. That is the beginning. So it's good to be thankful. It's good to show your appreciation because it shows that you have a heart towards God. When you are unthankful for the things that God does for you, then at some point, what you slowly begin to move to a place of a reprobate mind. And that's something that we don't want to do. A scripture I want to share with you guys is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, if anyone speaks, grab that word right there. There's a few words in this scripture I want you guys to grab hold of. I saw some people jump in here. I saw Miles jump in here and Chastity jump in here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, if anyone speaks, grab a hold of that word. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Okay. In other words, we need to speak with the consideration. When God speaks, let's put it this way. There's two things. When God speaks, there are two things that happen, really. Either God is speaking life, or he's speaking death. That's what it boils down to. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, when God spoke, every time God spoke, something was created. When every time God spoke, and something came to life. You know what I mean? When he speaks, he's speaking life, or he's speaking death. And we have to also understand that we're doing the very same thing. It says in the Bible that the power of life and death is in the tongue. It's in the tongue. You speaking life, or you speaking death. So if one speaks, he should speak it as one speaking the very words of God. So when we speak, we need to be speaking life into people and not death. Amen. If we're speaking death, we should be speaking death to the works of the enemy. That's what we should be speaking death to. All right. Goes on here in the same scripture. It says, if anyone serves, the first part, if anyone speaks, the second part, if anyone serves, grab hold of both of those words, speaking and serving. Okay. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength of God. That or with the strength that God provides. If you are going to serve, if anyone serves, do it with the strength that God provides. What has God blessed you with? He's blessed you with a roof over your head. You can serve somehow with your home. He's blessed you with transportation. If you have transportation, you could be a blessing somehow with your transportation by serving somebody. I remember we had got a new car one time. I think it was our first car together as a married couple we bought together. And my wife said to me, you know, she counted that as a blessing. And she said to me at some point, what did you say?
So it was a small vehicle because it was hard for us to get a vehicle. But I said at this point, let's use this as a blessing because because God made it possible for us to even get a vehicle because it was really hard just to get that vehicle.
Right.
So we wanted to bless others with the blessing that God provided for us.
Right, exactly. So what we did is if anybody needed us, if anybody needed a ride or needed some help transportation wise or something like that, we didn't just automatically cut them off. We really gave serious consideration, like to say, I mean, it was like almost yes, almost first instinct, right? We're going to help you. But, you know, we can't help all the time. But if it was within our ability, if it was within our power, if it was within our availability, we were going to help you. We were going to be there to help you. So whatever it is, God bless you. Maybe you have some hands and you have some talent in your hands. You can build things. You can fix things, or you can, you know, work on cars, or you can, you know, paint. Whatever it is, play instruments, whatever God has given you. You know what I'm saying? Serve. It says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God has provided. It says, why? Why do we do this? Why should we speak or serve in this manner? So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. We do this, we speak and we serve in the right manner so that God may be praised through Jesus Christ. It is Jesus that has given us all the right to become what? The children of God. It says, to him be the glory. Here's another word I want you to grab hold of, because I'm finna expound on this word a little bit more, okay? It says, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Just that one verse alone has a whole lot for us to chew on. Amen. I mean, for this entire week. Amen. So if you don't study anything else for this week, I want you to study that scripture right there that I have just given you. Maybe that's your scripture for the whole week. Maybe that scripture is your inspiration. Maybe it's your meditation. Maybe it's your work for this week. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If you didn't get it, write it down so you know it and read that every day. All right. Okay. Here's something that I want you all to know that is very important as being a Christian. Remember, I told you that the objective of today's message is this: serving the Lord is in an important part of being a Christian. All right. So now I am getting ready to break this down. I'm getting ready to dig a little deep into this part right here. Let your light shine. You all have a light. Let it shine. Remember that song we used to sing a long time ago in church? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And come on, let's rock back and forth. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Come on now, give God some praise, right? Let your light shine. You all have a light, and your light is a beautiful light. Your light is a gorgeous light. Your light is a powerful light. Amen. Where your light shine, darkness flees. That's what the Bible telling us. Where light shine, darkness flees. If darkness is not fleeing from your life, it's because you're not allowing for your light to shine. If you allow for your light to shine, darkness has to flee. It has no choice. Let your light shine. As a Christian, it is important for us to let our light shine. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 says this. It says, let your light shine before men. You don't let your light shine just for yourself. You don't let your light shine just in your own bedroom. You don't let your light shine just in your own car by yourself. That's not where your light shines. Your light needs to shine so people can see it. Amen. It says, let your light shine before men that they may see your what? See your what? Your good works. See your good works. What's the whole purpose of letting your light shine? The whole purpose of letting your light shine is so that people will see your good works. They will see the good things that you do. Amen. They will hear the good words that you speak, and they will see the good things that you are doing with your hands. Remember going back there to 1 Peter, what we say in 1 Peter, it says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking, do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, if anyone works, amen, same thing. Okay. If anyone works, he should do it with the strength that God provides. Amen. Guess what? We need to work. People need to see your good works. They need to see the strength that God has provided in you, and they need to see you putting it to work. They need to see it. That's your light, okay? Let them see it. And here's the results. Here is the result of letting your light shine. It says, and when men see your good works, they are going to glorify your Father who is in heaven. This whole series has been designed to help us to better relate to God being our Father. Amen. Not just him being quote unquote God, not just him being, you know, Alpha and Omega, not just him being the creator and maker of all things, not just him being Lord, but being our Father. A Father, we need to have a relationship with him, an understanding, and relate to him truly being our Father and we being his children. If we're going to identify ourselves as a Christian, we need to also be a Christian. We need to put that thing into action. And one of the best ways to put this into action is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, the things that you do. And when they do, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. I asked you a question earlier on in the message. What is it that you do to bring glory to God? Oh, I thank him every day for waking me up. No, that's showing your appreciation. What do you do to bring glory to God? Well, guess what? If you're not allowing for your light to shine, if you're not putting your good works together, to serve, guess what? If people are not seeing you serving with your good works, then you're not glorifying the Father. Simple as that. One of the best and easiest ways to bring glory to God is to let your light shine. But here, how do you let your light shine? Some people may want to know, how do we do this? You know, this one thing to provide information and provide great teaching and stuff like that. But if there is no practicals that people can actually grab hold of, then at some point it becomes, you know, just tingling noise. It's just tickling your ear, entertaining you. So here, I'm hoping I'm giving you guys some practicals, some things that you can actually put to work to make these things work and produce some tangibles in your life. So here are some tangibles that I'm going to give you guys to help you out, okay? But how do we let our light shine? You serve, you let your light shine, your works, men see your good works by doing this. They see him by you exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. When you exemplify the fruit of the Spirit, then that's how you let your light shine. All right. There's a series that I did this past summer, I believe it was the spring and summer, early part of summer. I did a series that was titled Fruit of the Spirit. All right. It's a 7 or 8 teachings in this series where I went through every single one of the fruit and I broke them down. From this lesson, right, what I'm about to talk about right now, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to get more in depth with it, then go to YouTube go to YouTube, which is Byron Fitzpatrick. And then there's a channel on my page, on my YouTube channel, which is titled Crosstown Church. All of the videos, all the church videos are on there, and you can watch the whole series, listen to the whole series on there as well. It might even be on our podcast, because we got a podcast too that's called We Are Crosstown. It may be on there as well. Okay, so here, I'm going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and then we're going to bring this thing to a closure. We serve God. We let our light shine by exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, here it is, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's nine fruits of the Spirit. So in that message I did, fruit of the Spirit, is nine messages in there. This is how we let our light shine, by exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The scripture goes on to say this, against these, there is no law. When it says there is no law, it means there's no judgment. When there's no law, that means you have total freedom. There's no boundaries here. Against such, there is no law. When it comes to showing love and expressing love, exemplifying love, there's no boundaries. You have total freedom to do so. When it comes to exemplifying joy, exemplifying peace, you know, the Bible says that those who sow peace sow a harvest of righteousness. So when you are a peacemaker, you become and you sow, when you sow stuff, guess what? Other people benefit from it. When you sow a harvest of righteousness, patience, exemplifying patience, all of these things, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You have total freedom within them to be able to exemplify these things with no limits. God said, here's some things right here that you can do, and you got total freedom in it. Do them. That's how we let our light shine, by exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. And here, I want you guys to know something about the fruit of the Spirit, all right? Exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit is not a self-benefit. When you exemplify the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, and so forth, when you exemplify these things, it is not a self-benefit. In other words, you are not the one who benefits from it. You're not. Wake up call, okay? Guess what it is to you? To you, it is self-edification. It's self-edification. In other words, it's building your own morals and your own intellect. It's you having moral values and a moral intellect. So it is definitely a benefit, or it's self-edification to you. When you exemplify those fruit of the Spirit, you are edifying yourself, your esteem, your morals, and your intellect all goes up, okay? Exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit, it benefits other people. You know, it edifies you, but other people are the beneficiaries of it. It's demonstrating your morals and your intellect. The beneficiary again is other people. When you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, other people benefit. And guess what? Your Father who is in heaven gets the glory. So I want you to see this thing. It's three things that's happening here. You are exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit. Again, love, patience, joy, kindness, faithfulness, long-suffering, self-control. Anyway, y'all, nine fruits of the Spirit. When you exemplify those things, this is what's happening. You're exemplifying them. You're getting the self-edification. Other people are benefiting from it, and God gets the glory. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works, okay? Your good works, other people benefit from the works that you do. And it says, when they see this, they will do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, God has gifted us to be able to speak and to work, to serve. Okay, we need to speak as God speaks and work with the strength that God has given us so that he will get the glory. If you see all of these scriptures that I'm sharing with you guys, gives us, it's like three points to this thing. One, God blesses us so that we could do something with it and we get blessed with it. We give it to other people and then so that they can get blessed. And when we do that, God gets all the glory. I hope y'all are seeing this. All right. Switching gears here, and I'm going to bring this thing. This is what I said once, I'm going to bring it to a closure, but this is the real closure right here, okay? Selfishness is not your ID. It's just, it's not a part of your ID. You have to get rid of it. If there's a part in your life that you can identify with, you are selfish. Okay, let me back up. Okay. There is some things that some good selfishness about, but we're not talking about that today, but we're talking about the bad selfishness. Okay. Selfishness is not a part of your ID. Let it go. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. We are designed to bring God glory. We are created to bring God glory. So when we live our lives, we need to be very conscious about how can we bring him glory? We bring him glory by letting our light shine so that men may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. There is no selfishness in that. It's a selfless act. When you become a Christian, it is no longer I, but it's now we. It's, this thing is all about, you know, it's all about God, but it's about what can we do to make this world a better place. Who is that? Teddy Pendergrass and the Blue Notes, they sang that song. And he said, the world won't get no better if we don't try. I know I ain't sound good, right? But y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, the world won't get no better if we don't try. He said, the world won't get no better if we let it be. If we just let it be. If we just let the world be, it won't get no better. The world gets better from what? He says, you and I. You and I. We, when we do what we're supposed to do, let our light shine. That's how the world gets better. We need to think of how we can help someone else to be a better person. How can we help someone else be a better person? Amen. That's what we need to be thinking about. When we help others to be better, we are serving not only them, but we're also serving God as well. Amen. We're serving him as well. We need to change our thinking. So have a paradigm shift in your thinking, okay? When you have a paradigm shift in your thinking, that means you used to think this way. There was a pattern. And you're going to take that pattern and put it on hold, put it on pause, and you're going to start thinking a totally different way, all right? That's a paradigm shift. You don't have to serve the Father. You don't. You do not have to serve God. You do not have to serve the Father. Change your thinking to this. You get to serve your Father.
Amen.
He is your heavenly Father. He's not just God. He's not just Alpha and Omega. He's not just the beginning and the end. He's not just the creator and maker of all things. He's not just the Father of Jesus Christ. He is your Father. And it's an honor and it's a privilege that we get the opportunity to be able to serve him and to bring him glory. I mean, think about it. For those of you that have a relationship with your Father at some point in your life, whether as a child or as an adult, or for those of you that are fathers and you have a child, especially if you have a young child, you know, and there's a relationship there, you know, and mothers too. Let's not exclude mothers, you know, mothers with their relationship with their children and vice versa. You with your relationship with your mother. There's a place where a child is so excited when they make their parents smile, when they do something that makes their parents happy, make their parents pleasing. One of the things that children want to do is they want to make their parents happy. They want to be pleased. They want to please them, you know? And when we as parents respond the right way, it makes them want to please us even more. Guess what? We are God's children, and there's something in us that we desire to make God happy. We desire to please him. We desire to bring him glory, but we have to ask ourselves the question, why aren't we doing it? And most people aren't doing it, not because they're bad or evil or they don't want to have anything to do with God. It's simply because they're struggling with truly relating themselves as being God's children and him being their or our Father. Amen. We should be excited to give him a little bit of our time, a little bit of time to serve him. We should be excited. Oh my gosh. God has done this for me. I mean, he has created me. Jesus has forgiven me. I mean, for all the stuff that I've done in my life, I should be dead in the hell right now. I mean, we can think about things. I said this a few weeks ago. We can think about things that we've all done over our lifetime where other people are dead and in a grave for doing the very same thing. whether we did something wrong, whether we did something intentional, whether we did something accidental. We all have done things in our lives where other people have done the exact same thing and they are dead and gone, but yet we are still here. That's reason enough for us to be like, Father God, man, you have done so much to me, so much for me. And I have this opportunity where I can let my light shine so that people can see and they can glorify you. I'm all in. I'm all, sign me up. Sign me up. I'm in for that one right there. Closing thoughts is this right here. Serving the Lord is an important part of being a Christian. It's not enough for us to identify as a Christian. It's not enough for us to identify as God's child. We must demonstrate our ID. We must demonstrate who we are. We do this by letting our light shine. We must be who we are by doing who we are. A police officer, he does what? He polices. A doctor does what? Heals. A delivery person does what? Delivers. A cook does what? Cooks. A child of God should bring him glory by speaking and serving. That's what Christians are supposed to do. We identify as his child, and we need to be his child.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.